We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank. Up next, the latest on the K-State Wildcats from the guys of Three Maw. John Kurtz, Derek Young, and Cole Manbeck. Who will get you caught up on all things Wildcats from a collective perspective that can't be found anywhere else? The latest news, the top stories, and an insider perspective to keep you in the know. Three Maw is proudly presented by 360 Vodka. And now, let's begin the show.
Hello and welcome into another Three Maw. I am John Kurtz, joined by Derek Young of K-State Online, Cole Manbeck, former beat writer for the Manhattan Mercury. It is portal combat time, baby. We are talking portal updates here for K-State as they hosted a major, major visitor over the weekend. They may potentially have another one on the horizon coming up this week. And things are getting quite exciting as far as the portal is concerned. But before we do that, make sure that you pour yourself a nice glass of 360 Vodka or Ben Holiday Bottled and Bond Bourbon, whichever you prefer. Make sure and support our friends at Holiday Distillery, who do a great job supporting us here on the pod. They are K-State folks themselves, so make sure that you get out and support them, whether you want the bourbon, the Ben Holiday Bottled and Bond Bourbon, or you prefer the 360 Vodka. Either is fine with us, and hopefully we'll be able to raise a celebratory glass of Ben Holiday Bottled and Bond Bourbon pretty soon here with K-State landing the number one player in the portal. Number two player in the portal. Is it fair to say number two player in the portal? Because I saw another ranking that had Asemus at, like, I don't know, like 17 or something. And I was like, wait, have we been too high on this, or am I just reading a random Twitter account here?
He's number two at On Three, so let's go with that.
Okay. That was the other part, D.Y., is like I've read so many of these. I was like, I'm pretty sure Max Asemus was number two in On Three, but I wasn't 100% sure, and I didn't want to put you in an awkward spot. So, all right. Company man, smart man, the number two player in the portal, was in Manhattan this past weekend. Despite some travel issues, he did make it. And this, of course, being Max Asemus, is a transfer guard from Oral Roberts, who is one of the best and most accomplished scorers and players in the country. I guess we'll start, D.Y., with whatever update you want to provide on how that visit went, because I know people were very intrigued and interested in this one. Sounded like a lot of the buzz was moving toward Texas from national folks on where Asemus would be heading, and then he decides to visit K-State first.
Yeah, I was a little taken aback by all that Texas buildup. What was it, basically Wednesday through Friday, because that entire time I knew that Kansas State visit was happening, although I think it needed to still perhaps be locked in at some point there for a little bit. But I was like, is Texas really the runaway favorite? Like, everyone is certainly approaching it. Like, when Kansas State's getting that first visit, when even at this point, now I think it's going to happen, but even at this point, I'm not sure that he's actually solidified an absolute drop-dead date and visit plans for Texas. Like, I think in the back of his mind, or in the front of his mind, he's probably going to visit Texas, but I just don't think that they've arranged those plans yet. Not sure that they've absolutely arranged the plans for Wichita State yet either, although that sounds like, according to my colleagues at On3, will be the next stop. And it sounds like, even from those that I've talked to since that trip, Max A. Smith's trip to Manhattan to check out Kansas State. I think they understand that he's probably going to take at least three visits. So I don't think that this was something that's going to be wrapped up in the next 48 hours or anything like that. If it did, it would probably be good for Kansas State, but it would be surprising to me. So I don't have that, even if it were to unfold in that direction. But from the folks I've talked to, I think they feel good about how that visit went. It didn't get off to the greatest of starts, to no fault of their own, right? With the weather situation being what it was on Friday, his flight, you know, was supposed to get in real late on Friday night. Manhattan had the storms, so they got diverted to Omaha. Didn't realize that they were landing in Omaha until they were boots on the ground in Omaha. And that was what, I want to say, 1:32 in the morning. They were still considering flying that night. The flight crew from Omaha to Manhattan to complete that flight didn't end up being able to. So it got officially canceled, I think, around 3:30 in the morning. At that point, he had to stay all night at the airport. So an unfortunate turn of events. I think he got to Manhattan around noon on Saturday, I want to say, and his flight left Manhattan just before noon on Sunday. So it was, I mean, just the way things unfolded, too, it was less than 24 hours at Kansas State.
D.Y., you got paparazzis at the Manhattan airport shooting pictures of Jerome Tang at 2 a.m., sleeping on the couch waiting for Asmus.
I go to no lengths to bring you guys the goods, okay?
Why weren't you at the airport sleeping there waiting for him? You know, that's what I would have expected from you, being there waiting to get an interview in right when he gets off the plane.
I don't know the last time I saw 3 a.m. Yeah. Can't tell you.
Yeah. Well, I would just say, like, he does seem like a guy that will be extremely mature and patient about the process and the recruiting. Like, if you look at Asmus's social media, there's not really any drama about his recruitment or portal updates or anything. Like, it would have been easy for someone like me if I had to sleep on an airport floor and go through everything that he did on Friday night. Oh, poor me, you know, post a picture or something or update of sleeping at the airport. He didn't do anything like that. He just quietly went about the process, only tweeted that he was in Manhattan, but didn't do any sort of pictures or any sort of updates on his visit. Maybe that's to come, but it just seems like somebody that isn't one to really bring a lot of attention to himself. He's a mature guy. This is going into his fifth year of college basketball. Doesn't want that attention. And we talked about it before that a lot of times these guys in the portal have had their time to shine in the recruitment. Now, he wouldn't have going to Oral Roberts, but some of these guys handle it in a more mature, or just I don't want to say immature way when they do want attention, but just want to go about it behind the scenes. And that it does seem like he's someone that will probably be patient and probably take a couple more visits, like DY said, but hopefully K-State can keep the pressure on. I mean, DY, can they, with the potential of a couple other guards visiting, like Estrada and Tyler Perry, you know, the thought of them locking up the two spots at the 1 and 2, is that something, or obviously Asmus has plenty of options though, so I'm not sure they can really pressure him into a spot of committing early. DY's like, no chance in hell. All right.
This seems like a risky play there. Yeah. When it's like, and all their millions to be throwing at him as part of the competition.
I mean, yeah, one step at a time, I'm sure. I mean, if it comes to that, then, you know, they have time. It's April 17th. I mean, the transfer portal is even open, but over three more weeks left of the transfer portal being open, too. So don't rule out another guy that just all of a sudden enters the portal and they're like, oh, crap, let's put him at the top of the board, too. Don't rule that out.
Yeah, remember last year. I mean, just how patient everybody had to be last year. And that's something else that I would echo here, because I know there's a thought that you see guys like, so K-State was in on Jesse Edwards, who was a transfer, at least interested, maybe in on's the wrong phrase. And K-State was interested in Jesse Edwards, who was transferring from Syracuse, and he takes one visit to West Virginia, wraps it up, and commits. We've seen this happen with a couple of guys here early in the process where it seemed like there was one destination. LJ Cryer is another one, goes to Houston, commits right away. Seemed like it was just a visit to kind of confirm where they already wanted to go in their mind. So I know there was some level of disappointment from K-State fans that didn't happen here with Asmus, didn't lock him down on the first visit. But I think Cole hit the nail on the head. I mean, he appears to be a pretty mature guy. I think a lot of these guys are going to do this, sort of like take their visits, take their time throughout the process. And the other reminder I would throw in there is just how big was Keyonte Johnson for the squad this past year, and how long did it take Keyonte to actually commit last year after his visit? I think I saw someone say on the boards, DY would have to verify this, but I think it was like over a month, right? Before we found out about Keyonte, and we had all at the time kind of given up on it, didn't really think it was likely because so much time had passed, and then he chose K-State. So these are, you know, difficult decisions. I mean, if you're a kid like A-Smith, to the point of like enjoying the recruiting process, he did. He went to Oral Roberts. He didn't get to be courted by K-State, Texas, Baylor, you know, schools like that. So he, I'm sure he wants to take his time and go enjoy all the visits. So I'm there's no panic from me on the fact that you're not coming out of the weekend with a commitment.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably not ideal or best case scenario because I think you do see first visit commitments quite a bit, and you're tempting fate a little bit by him getting wooed by his old head coach at Wichita State, or, you know, all the glitz and the glamour that Texas can provide.
Is Wichita State really a concern here?
I mean, for the duration, I've always been told no, to be honest. Like, that wasn't something that was going to be considered, kind of even more blunt than Tyler Perry with Texas Tech and Grant McCaslin. But if he indeed visits there, then I guess you have to put more oxygen into that. What you would, and I know, and I'm bringing this up because my colleagues at On3, the Texas site, have raised this, so I wonder if this has been bantered about within the coaching offices in Austin, right? If Paul Mills knows he's not going to get his star pupil back, and the guy that we're talking about, Max A-Smith, does he say, you bet you should just go play for Jerome Tang because that's his guy too? I mean, they coached together in Waco. They're best buds. They have a lot of respect for each other. I mean, that crew that was together for a long time in Waco, there's not a tighter bond than what those guys have, whether it be Jerome Tang with Grant McCaslin, you know, Scott Drew, in this case, Paul Mills. I mean, those guys are very, very close. If Paul Mills has the relationship that I imagine he has with Max A-Smith, but knows that Max isn't going to pick Wichita State, I could see him trying to nudge him towards Kansas State, and perhaps not Texas, when you got to think some of these guys, you know, they were at Baylor for a number of years. I don't think they look too fondly at Texas either.
Yeah. You know, you think about Wichita State, look, for A-Smith, you talk about getting to like a better league, going up against better competition. The American really isn't going to be that this year. I mean, they lose Cincinnati, Houston, and they lose their best team. So there's really not a major upgrade in competition and getting on a higher visibility for A-Smith. You know, we talk about how mature of a kid he is. Obviously, the relationship with Paul Mills is very strong. You know, this is a kid that could have entered the portal. I bring this up because Texas, I'm sure, is going to offer a very significant financial NIL package to A-Smith, and a bidding war would be very hard for Kansas State to win if it came to that. I don't think they would win that. So if A-Smith was about that, it would be hard for Kansas State to win this recruiting battle. But A-Smith is a guy that could have entered the portal each of the last three seasons and didn't. He stayed at Oral Roberts. This is a guy that led the NCAA in scoring as a sophomore at over 24 points per game 2 years ago. He stayed at Oral Roberts. He could have left last year when he averaged 22 a game. He didn't. He stayed all 4 years. He averaged over 20 points per game each of the last three seasons. Would have been one of the most coveted, sought-after transfers in the country. Could have left after last season when NIL really became a big thing, but he was loyal and stayed with a guy like Paul Mills. So I don't think he's a guy that is going to necessarily choose the highest dollar amount offered to him. To me, I can't speak for him necessarily, but that's just my read on the situation. I think there's going to be a balance here, and I think Jerome Tang can win this recruiting battle when it comes down to it. I think he's obviously from Texas, A-Smith is. K-State has very strong ties with Jerome Tang, Yurik Malagi, Jareem Dowling. This staff has very strong Texas ties. So I think K-State has a significant shot in getting the first visit. There's something to be said about getting the first visit. Now, even if they didn't get the commitment right out of it, the fact that A-Smith chose to go to K-State first, to me, is significant when he had other options like Baylor, Texas, Wichita State, that he could have went to. And I also think there is a preconceived notion that guys on their first visit commit right away. And a lot of times that is true, but a lot of those are the prearranged situations where a guy enters the portal. It's clearly already been prearranged through back handling, like Jesse Edwards, certainly feels like that was the case. He had a visit to West Virginia lined up within 12 hours of entering the portal, and everyone assumed he was going there and committed right after his visit. So those are the situations that happened. But two other guards that K-State's chasing, keep in mind, are Aaron Estrada, who's already visited Cincinnati and Alabama, hasn't committed, and he's probably going to visit K-State, and then Tyler Perry, who visited Florida and Arkansas, didn't commit. So a lot of these guys also take their time and go through the process.
Which, again, to me, like, makes sense, because this is their, if they were at a smaller school, this is a time to shine and get some of that attention and soak it up. So the other part, I mean, that I would just stress is, like, look, I'm on A-Smith desperately. Well, desperately is probably too strong, but I really do want Max A-Smith. But I fully trust, like, this staff's ability. Like, they're going to find guys. And like you said, D.Y., don't discount somebody else major entering the portal between now and when it actually happens. Last year, they really earned my trust with, like, you know, just be patient, wait it out. They're going to be able to recruit and get dudes. And even being in a conversation to the level that they are with all these guys right now tells me how much their message is resonating on the recruiting trail. So I'm not too overly worried about this. Like, I don't think missing on Max A-Smith is the end of the world, even if that were to happen.
Yeah, Jerome Tang, one of the things he said since the NCAA tournament finish was, like, we can get in on about anyone that we want to get in on, and that's definitely the case. That, I mean, when they say that, they're talking about the Max A-Smiths of the world, the Aaron Estradas of the world, probably even the Jesse Edwards of the world, because he was taking their calls at one point too, even though that was a pretty quick and abrupt end, that they were at least in contention until for a day or two. And while that might seem small, those things weren't happening a year ago when they first took the job, and you had Jerome Tang kind of outwardly admitting, he's like, I forgot, you know, when I was toward the end of my tenure at Baylor, we were kind of picking and choosing, and this one, you really got to fight and scrap where we are now. And I had to remember what that felt like. And just in a year, it seems like he's graduated from that on a pretty significant level.
And it's no coincidence that Jerome Tang stated he wanted two guards that have played 90 games of college basketball in their careers, and the first two guys that are going to take official visits to Kansas State are Max A-Smith, who started 123 games in his career as a guard, and Aaron Estrada, who's played in 100 games with over 70 starts in his college basketball career. So those two experienced guards that he really wants that have played 90-plus games, the first two guys that are visiting Kansas State are guys that have played 90 plus games of college basketball.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, I want to get the latest on what is going on with Estrada as well as Tyler Perry, the two other guards K-State is really interested in here. So we'll get to that after a break.
You're listening to KC Sports Network. We'll be right back after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe,
Access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
Okay, so we have talked about Max Asemus. Next on the list, Aaron Estrada here, another guy that K-State really wants. Hofstra transfer, conference player of the year. A stud, definitely a stud. Canceled a Florida State visit. Has taken visits to Cincinnati and Alabama. This is one, DY, where I think we feel pretty good about where K-State is sitting, correct?
Yeah, I've always kind of been more confident on the front of Aaron Estrada, the Hofstra transfer, rather than, well, I wouldn't say rather. I still feel solid about Max Asemus. Wouldn't predict anyone yet, I don't think, for Max Asemus. I don't think that there's been someone that's really separated themselves, although I know, you know, various schools feel pretty good about where they stand. For Estrada, I would probably say Kansas State's number one. I've felt that way for a little bit. It's probably a very positive sign, and we haven't really heard anything from Alabama since that visit. Because typically, if something were going to unfold, it would unfold pretty quickly. Now, probably hold your breath, because the next 24, 48 hours sounds like there's going to be a lot of decisions being made from the transfer portal, according to Joe Tipton of On3, that's going to release some of those, I'm sure. You hope Estrada is not one of those and surprises you with an Alabama commitment. It's not something that I have heard. So I'm not really paranoid about it, at least yet, but that's something you got to be leery of. But I definitely, for, you know, the last few weeks, have felt better about where K-State is with Aaron Estrada than necessarily any other target that they've pursued.
Yeah, I think you feel a little bit encouraged that we're now over 48 hours, I believe, removed from the conclusion of his visit to Tuscaloosa, and there hasn't been a commitment announcement, and it sounds like he'll be visiting K-State. So I think... you feel okay about that, and this would be a big time get. I mean, guys, this is the number six player in the portal. You're talking about 1,300 plus players in the transfer portal. He's the sixth ranked player in the portal, according to On3, the number two shooting guard in the portal. Nearly 1,500 points scored in his career. I mentioned he's played 100 games. You know, over the last two seasons, average over 19 points per game on 48% shooting. He's a lefty. He's got a really nice stroke, a really nice mid-range shot, in addition to the ability to knock down the three. 35% on threes, 131 of 375 over the last two seasons, was 37% from three this last season on over 100 attempts. And really where he really impresses you is his ability to knock down twos. He's 56% on twos over the last two seasons. And also, we talked about it on the last pod, but a really good rebounding guard, over 5.5 rebounds per game, had games with 10, 9 rebounds against Power 5 teams. So would be a big, big time get, an electric scorer that's been very experienced in the college basketball landscape. So hopefully Kansas State can get him locked down.
As far as the visit goes, DY, what do we know? What's the latest on that for Estrada?
I believe the plan is for Thursday that he'll be arriving in Manhattan. I don't know that that's like super, super final, but that's the word. I'll just say that that's the word to expect him on Thursday.
I didn't know if I was giving away. I started to question myself. DY didn't want me to mention that he might be visiting.
At this point, I mean, I think I first caught wind of it actually from my colleagues at the Alabama site, and On3, I think they were the first ones actually aware of a visit, and I heard it from, you know, a few of my sources as well. So, I think Alabama knew that was already on the schedule as well. Just like Kansas State knew he was going to be at Alabama. You know, he's also visited Cincinnati. I think it's probably relevant to mention that he canceled the Florida State trip, according to Joe Tipton of On3 as well. So Florida State seemingly not in the discussion. I think that's because Florida State, not that they landed somewhat better, but I think Florida State did just take someone else that was probably where that spot was designated.
They took a guard, and their assistant coach, RJ Barsh, he actually left for Gonzaga this weekend too. So I don't know if that had an impact. I just know Max Asmus had followed that guy, that assistant coach, on IG a few days ago. So I thought Florida State might be trying to get on him.
Yeah, you always have to watch Florida State, because one of the best head coach recruiters in the country is Leonard Hamilton.
I was going to say, Florida State's kind of like sneaky with that, man. They're like, respect to Leonard Hamilton for sure. Well, honestly, respect to Bob Huggins too. I was talking to you guys, like, I don't really understand how the hell he's doing this, but he's pulling some big names from the portal. Is that Manhattan kid that's been like sitting in limbo for a year, is he going to be able to play this year?
He's the one recruiting a lot of these kids, I believe. Is that Jose Perez?
Jose Perez, yeah. Average over 20 a game.
So, like, yeah, a huge kid last year, and now they got Jesse Edwards, and then they got the Arizona kid, too, who I know still thinks not as highly of, but he was pretty sought after. I would say
Cole's not as high on Kirk Carissa, and I think Arizona wanted to upgrade over him, so I understand that thought process. At the same time, Carissa is probably still an upgrade for West Virginia.
I'd have Kedrian Johnson, their point guard this last year, over Carissa. I think they downgraded. I think that's a significant downgrade. So you guys know I watch a lot of Pac-12 basketball because I'm up late at night, and I'm not a Kirk Carissa fan. He's not a playmaker. He's a guy that likes to shoot some threes, and he likes to run his mouth. And he runs his mouth and doesn't have a lot to back it up to me.
Well, and then the other thing, I mean, all these West Virginia fans on Twitter are telling me that Caleb Grill is going to be the next guy. Caleb Grill is going to be a West Virginia Mountaineer.
They have the possibility, if they get Caleb Grill, to have the most unlikable guards in all of college basketball with Grill and Kirk Carissa. So
I'll tell you what, they'll be able to score them with Grill, Carissa, and Jose Perez in the backcourt. And you have Jesse. On paper, West Virginia would be a lot better than they've been in the last few years. But on paper, I'm not saying that will really emanate in actual stuff, because it also seems like a pretty combustible team as well. Which they've been pretty combustible of late, so that's not necessarily a departure from the norm of what it's been in Morgantown the last 2 or 3 years. They'll be must-see TV one way or another next year, I think.
I just love that. I just realized I started taking shots at West Virginia here, and that's just unnecessary. Yeah. You know, I had to take a shot. I'm not taking a shot at our guys from West Virginia. I like those guys that we do podcasts with and shows with, but I'm not a big Kirk Carissa fan.
Well, yeah, I don't think you were just taking a shot at him more than,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'm astonished. I just, Huggins, he feels like he's been flirting with the big drop off, but it hasn't happened, and he just keeps going, and now he's bringing in guys in the portal as a dude at his age, and like his style of coaching, which is, you know, I guess it is fair to say he's not quite as turned up to 11 as like a Frank Martin, Brad Underwood is with the yelling, screaming thing, but that's kind of his vibe, and he was the one that cultivated those guys as coaches. So it just surprises me that in 2023 we're still seeing Huggins doing this, but that's why the dude's in the Hall of Fame, and he finds a way. And it sounds like with Edwards it might be some kind of NIL loophole that they've figured out, because he's a foreign guy and wasn't able to get NIL at Syracuse. That may have been a big part of that situation.
I think most have kind of found that loophole, so I don't think that was
it was just Syracuse's problem.
I think Syracuse wasn't willing to discover that loophole, or at least play ball with that loophole. Or play in the NIL game at all, which is a problem that they have moving forward. But I will say with West Virginia, I get that that's maybe the vibe that is, with Bob Huggins, and you guys obviously know him far well than me, but I don't really see him explode ever. He's actually, for at least the last 2 or 3 years, been one of the most stoic coaches on the bench in college basketball. Like, he just sits on his stool and rarely shows any kind of emotion, good or bad. So, and if we...
We'll definitely throw you under the bus in the postgame presser, though. I mean, like, that's the, you know, he's still like come out and say, like, you know, we were the softest blank yeah. team out there today. You know, he's still that guy.
That hasn't departed his mantra at all. He will certainly be very critical when he feels necessary in terms of the press conferences, but in game demeanor, pretty stoic. I will say, people shouldn't be absolutely stunned that Bob Huggins is willing to play the NIL game or the gift game or improper benefits game, because he was one of the inventors of that game as well. So,
well, and he also, he's the guy that helped bring us Michael Beasley and Bill Walker by basically taking a year to just recruit without having a school to recruit to, which is one of the most badass things that I feel like has happened in basketball in recent
memory. Yeah, he's different. He's an older coach that isn't necessarily offended by the new wave of the rules as it pertains to NIL.
Yeah, which I definitely appreciate him for that. I definitely appreciate him for that. So, yes, on that hand, perhaps he deserves getting guys like these in the portal. But K-State will not be getting Jesse Edwards. They'll have to go somewhere else for their big, because he is headed to West Virginia. The one other guard that I think people are interested here is Tyler Perry from North Texas. He keeps, you know, there have been a couple of tweets with him mentioning like a top six, and K-State is not in there, but I know the word, DY, that you've gotten is still to not count K-State out here. It feels like, I don't know, is it fair to say he's a half step below the other two guards in terms of like who you would prefer that K-State's landing here?
No, I don't know. He's Conference USA Player of the Year, and that was a pretty good conference this past year. So probably depends on your preference of style. I don't know where he would be out on the Kent State pecking order. I think that would be unfair for me to speculate in terms, especially if they're trying to recruit all these guys and what that goes into it on that front. Here's how I would address this. I would not dismiss Tyler Perry despite what the lists may say. And I know that sounds crazy because everyone's like, well, we're not going to get him. He's not on this list, not on that list, not on this list. They might not get him, but I wouldn't dismiss him because I think there's more there than what ultimately meets the eye. But you might have to be patient before we discover that. That's probably a week or two away from really knowing what direction it could go in.
And if she's,
you know why, it just seems, do we know why? Like, this is, that just seems like such a weird dichotomy going on here. Because I can understand if the school is wanting to keep it quiet for whatever reason, but like with him listing off favorites to people, that's very curious to me.
Nah, I don't know.
If he's the backup plan, it's a pretty good backup plan. He's the number 23 player overall in the portal, according to On3's rankings. DY mentioned Conference USA Player of the Year, career 41% three-point shooter in two seasons on 445 attempts, averaged 17.5 points per game this season, 13 a game his junior year, career 86% free throw shooter on over 300 attempts. I think the biggest knock or concern, DY, John, would be just his playmaking ability from a distributing standpoint. You know, around 2.3 to 2.1 assists in each of his two seasons at North Texas, 78 as a junior, 74 assists as a senior this past year. So not a lot there, but a heck of a scorer, really good shooter. And so if he's your point guard option, you hope he can distribute more or be that off guard option, combo guard. But, you know, he's a guy that would be a pretty solid backup option. Also a guy that's a winner, like Jerome Tang likes, won the national title, JUCO national title in his career, and then also obviously won the NIT this last year and played for Grant McCaslin, the guy that Jerome Tang is obviously close to.
Can you really average that many assists on a team that averages like 50 points a game,
though? Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, it's a slowest pace, I believe, in college basketball with McCaslin. So, yeah, and I don't know, like, about his playmakers around him. Like, so, yeah, it numbers could certainly take a jump in terms of distribution at a school like K-State.
Cole, this is where you're supposed to come in with your North Texas basketball watching knowledge. I expect you to know the scouting report on the playmakers around Tyler Perry and any and all mid-major recruits that K-State is going after here in the portal.
You're talking to somebody that won money on North Texas in the NIT championship against UAB. So I was watching North Texas.
Yeah, but anybody can hop in on the NIT championship. You know, where were you in mid-January when they were playing at UTEP? That's what I had.
I was not watching that game. I was too locked in on Kansas State hoops this season for me to watch enough of North Texas basketball. But, you know. Obviously know about Grant McCaslin and his system, defensive minded, slow pace, but a good coach.
I would imagine that Kansas State's looking to fill four spots, spitballing there. And I think we're still thinking two guards, a wing and a big. And I don't know that we know enough to really handicap what happens on the wing and at the big spot.
Yeah, I was just about to say, it feels like those are really wide open where they're, the focus very much so is on the guards as of right now.
Yeah, I would say they've been, I guess, connected to the Florida State trade for Matthew Cleveland, which would make sense at wing. But, I mean, that's going to be a long and tough battle for whoever were to win that recruitment. I mean, those don't grow on trees. I think everyone's going to pursue him. The bigs, rumors that we could see and a parade of quality bigs enter the portal this week, so we'll see.
Which is needed, because right now there aren't a lot of bigs in there that that meet the criteria that Jerome Tang had described and what he's looking for in a five. Now, I think you and I differ a little, D.Y. I would take Musa Cisse from Oklahoma State, who's in the portal. He's the number one center available, but I know you don't think he fits what they're looking for necessarily. So, he's the former Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, I think it would depend on how they view him as an offensive player. Yeah. Maybe it's better than what I would view. But, I mean, one of the reasons why they wanted to chase a big is because they didn't want to switch offense for defense. Do you have to do that with him? Maybe not. I don't know. Depends what they view as offensive ceiling. And then Caden Shedrick was the other big that they were chasing. He had to rearrange his visits, and when he rearranged it, Kansas State wasn't included that second time around.
And I don't know. I wasn't as high on him. But
he's another guy that was seemed to be more defense than offense, but he did come on late for Virginia.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's your latest portal update. We'll continue to keep monitoring that and keep you updated as that rolls along here over the next couple of weeks. Exciting times, though. Exciting times. K-State in play for some legit dudes, some very, very legit dudes. It's going to wrap it up for us. Make sure to drink your 360 Vodka, your Ben Holiday bottled in Bond bourbon. Support Holiday Distillery. We appreciate the work of Jordan Foote behind the scenes producing this. For Derek Young and Cole Manbeck, I am John Kurtz. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all six of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.